Thank you, ladies. Beautiful song. What a blessing. Amen. Well, take your Bibles and look over at 1 Peter chapter 4. The context here is one of suffering, and certainly a lot of things in the Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4 that are helpful when we go through suffering and trials and difficulties. Again, the people in the early church went through many of those things. They were persecuted. Many were put in prison. They lost their jobs. They lost their families. They watched literally executions take place of those that they loved. And there was great, great suffering going on. And it's summed up in verse 19, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." And the whole idea is, you know, you do right. Verse 16, "If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed." Just do right. Keep doing right. And, you know, if you suffer because you do right, then praise the Lord. It'll glorify God. Let Him glorify God on this behalf. And that's a wonderful thing. But then tucked away, verses 17 and 18, it says, "The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" In other words, if we're being judged, and by the way, we are. And if you're saved today, you're found not guilty. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, we're not guilty. We're never going to be guilty of our sins once we get saved. It cannot happen. There is therefore now no condemnation to you and I who are saved. If you're saved today, you say, nothing's going right. That always is going to go right for you. You'll never be condemned for your sin. It's not possible. And the Bible says we have an advocate. He's our defense attorney, and He is Jesus. And you're never going to be guilty. You're never going to be found guilty. You are justified, the Bible says. That means you are not guilty. It'll never take place. But it says this, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" In other words, there is a difference here. There are those who obey the gospel of God. We're going to talk about that. And there are those, what about those who obey not the gospel of God? "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" What about those who obey not the gospel of God? I want to talk to you this morning about disobeying the gospel. And Father, I pray that you bless our time now as we look at your word. I pray you speak to our hearts. If there's anyone here who's not saved, Father, I pray they would obey the gospel and they would be saved today. Certainly this week we will run across those who are not saved, those who have disobeyed the gospel, or maybe those who have heard the gospel for the very first time, or maybe the second time. God, I pray they would obey the gospel and they'd be saved throughout this week. Speak to our hearts now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The bad news is in this area of disobeying. And it all started with the Garden of Eden. There was disobedience. Amen. I mean, we know that. Disobedience. God said, "Here's what I want you to do. You have a garden. You have a perfect environment." You know, we have people all over now saying, "Well, if our environment's different, it'll be better." The environment has nothing to do with it. Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment. God said, "Here's one thing that you can't do." All right, just one thing. And you know, everything's going to be perfect as long as you don't do that one thing. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. That's it. That's all. You can do anything else. You got all the food you want. You got all the things to do. You got everything you possibly could ever need. And as long as you obey me, everything's going to be great. Well, you know, man couldn't obey. Man chose not to obey. Man made a choice. You and I make choices every day. And that law then became the law. And that is, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's the law. That's how it is. That's it, period. And so now disobedience, there's punishment with disobedience now. And of course, we know that. We run into that. I remember, you know, as a child, I remember several exciting times that I had with disobedience. I remember one of the most memorable times of disobedience was when Dennis and I, my best friend and I, decided to skip school. And he went to one school. He went to Mississinewa High School, and I went to Marion High School. And we were neighbors, and the dividing line was our street. And so he went to another school than I did. And we thought this was a great opportunity to skip school. And so we skipped school. And his dad had a kind of a nasally voice, and he talked something like this. And it wasn't a real strong, solid, manly kind of a boy. It was kind of like that. And he's a good man and everything. But I thought I could call in for him, and he was going to call in for me. That's a great idea. You know, it's tough when you go to small schools and everybody knows everybody. But these were large schools, and we thought there'd be no problem. But his father talked like this. And when I called in to be his father, I thought, I can't really talk like that because Dennis is sitting right here and he'll, you know, he might be upset because I think his dad's voice is like that. So I called in and I said, "Hello, this is Mr. Ott, and I'm calling in for Dennis. He's sick today." And the guy said, "Who is this?" I said, "This is his father, Mr. Ott." And you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not sure this is going to work. I'm just not real sure. Now, he called in, and you know, my school was a huge school, Marion High School, and, you know, people didn't know anybody, and you know, he made his voice real deep and said, you know, he didn't say, I'm his, you know, he gave my dad's name and everything, and everything seemed great until Dennis got called in, and the principal said, "I know that wasn't your dad. Who was it?" And it's funny how principals know each other. In the meantime, I was getting real good at signing the dean's name. And I had a real good thing going. I was making, well, anyway, we won't get into all that. But at any rate, our dean and the guy in charge, his name was Mr. Gross. Perfect name for his job. Mr. Gross. And he was bald. Bald people are intimidating unless they're preachers. Then it's not so intimidating. But this guy was really intimidating. And at any rate, to make a long story short, he found out about me too. And in the meantime, he found out about my forging his signature. Needless to say, I'll never forget the day that my disobedience caught up with me. And I was called into his office. And it was funny because I walked in and all the teachers, everybody's looking. It's a big, big office area. And all the teachers, they're all looking, you know, and it's like something's about to happen. I'm thinking, isn't that something? You know, something big is about to happen. And it was lunchtime. And I kept watching the clock, and I thought, you know, pretty soon everybody's going to be going to lunch, and that hallway right outside the doors there is going to be full of students, and I'll be able to go to lunch and everything. And so he's talking to me. He said, and he talked like this. He talked like I made Mr. Ott sound like. And anyway, he says, "Rogers," he said, "it looks like you skipped school the other day." And I said, "Well, I had to study extra," and you know, he didn't buy that. And then he showed me some of my artwork, and he said, "You know," he says, "we have a punishment for your disobedience, and you're going to have to face your punishment." And I thought, all right, you know, detention or something, you know, something like that. This was the old days. This was back before people started reading Freud. And time out. Oh, I would have loved a time out right then. I'd only heard about this. Now I was about to experience it. He got behind his desk, and there was a paddle like that. Now I'm in high school. I'm a freshman or a sophomore in high school. And he pulled out a paddle that was like this, and it was about that thick, and it had holes in it. Everybody knows what that. Anybody that knows anything about paddles knows when there's holes in it. It means something. And it's not just the whistle from the air going through the holes. It means something. He said, "Rogers," he said, "because of what you did, you're going to get 3 swats." And I thought, you know what, I'm tough. I can handle it. But all of a sudden, it was funny what they did. He looked over at one of the other men, and they opened all the doors in the office area, opened all the doors out to the hallway. And I just kind of peered out, and I looked, and all those students are now lining up for lunch. And it just kind of hit me. Before he hit me, that it seemed like they on purpose opened all those doors. I thought, am I being an example? No, I didn't really think that. I've thought it since then. But you know what? I disobeyed, and I got the law laid on me 3 times. Now, the first one, I thought I was going to die, honestly. The other 2, I didn't feel. till several days later. He absolutely, I'm serious, that guy was mean, and he was, and I mean, it echoed. It was like 20 whacks because the echo, because all the doors were open and the halls and all the kids. And you know, I mean, you're trying to be tough. It's hard to be tough when tears are squirting. You know, when they're going, you know, it's hard to be tough. And I mean, I'm like, wow, this is really devastating. But that wasn't the most devastating thing. The most devastating is now that they've opened all those doors, it was the only way out. He said, I'll see you later. And I had to walk through that line of all those students. And they know what just happened because everybody heard it. And, you know, I never did that again. I disobeyed. You disobey the speed limit, you get a ticket. If you get caught, you're going to get a ticket. You disobey the parking signs, and you park in the city of Adrian. Bless God, if you park on the street after a certain amount of, you know, when it's late at night, they're going to give you a ticket, maybe tow your car, whatever. You know, that's the law. You disobey. If you steal something and you get caught stealing, you're gonna pay for disobeying. God has a law too. See, and God's law says that the wages of sin is death. That's a law. All right. Now, by the way. The wages of sin isn't a paddling, it's death. It's death in hell. Okay, that's the wages of sin. Okay, when a soul sinneth, it shall die. The soul dies. And death is separation from God, and that soul is going to go to hell for all eternity, period. That's the law. That is the law. Okay, there's no way around that law. That is the law. Are you listening? Okay, wages of sin is death. Soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so it amazes me how so many people say, okay, I want to live by the law. No, you don't. No, you don't want to live by the law. I promise you. You don't want to live by the law. Because the Bible says in Romans 8, look at it real quick, Romans 8 verse 3. And I'm just leading up to the message here. Romans 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak, how? Through the flesh. The law, what could the law not do? What's it talking about the law could not do? Here's what the law cannot do. The law, there's nothing in the law that'll save your soul. There's nothing in the Ten Commandments to save your soul. Are you listening? There's nothing. There's nothing in the law that gets you off. It's not possible. You're going to be guilty, period. It isn't going to happen. Okay, so somebody says, well, I believe that I'll go to heaven because of my good works. Not possible. Can't do it. That's the law. Because if you do one bad work, it's over, period. You skip school, done. It's over. You broke the law. You forge the pass, done. Over. You go over the speed limit, it's over. Done, period. That's what it means. The law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. There is no salvation in the law. There's no salvation this is what you got to do. There isn't any salvation in that. It's not possible. And so it says this, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That's the only way. Okay, there's nothing you and I can do as far as keeping the law that is going to undo the breaking of the law. It doesn't happen. Well, I just hope my good works outweigh my bad works. No, it's not possible. It cannot happen. There is nothing in the Ten Commandments that can save you. Nothing. There is no law in the scripture, a law that you know, thou shalt not. There's nothing. You can't keep enough law to undo the breaking of one part of the law. If the only thing that I did was skip school one time, forge a couple of passes, but everything else was good, it could not undo that one violation of the law. Try telling the police officer when he pulls you over for speeding, try telling him, yeah, but most of the time, 95% of the time, I don't speed. And he just looks at you like, Okay, you don't think somebody's tried that? No. Look, you broke the law. We broke the law. In verse 17, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, okay, it does. Did I break the law? Yes, I did. I did break the law. Did you break the law? Brother Letson, have you broken the law? Yes, he has. Notice I had to answer for him. Brother Hawkins, have you broken the law? Yes, he has too. Brother Hollins, have you broken the law? Yeah, we all have. For all have sinned and come short. I'm not talking about the law. I'm not trying to get into your speeding and all that kind of stuff. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has broken the law. All right? Well, judgment begins at the house of God. And Jesus says, I died on the cross to pay for their sin in full. Now, you say, why'd you say all that, preacher? We know all that. Because now, for judgment on me, the judgment is not for my sin, because that's gone. You understand, when God looks at a Christian, when God looks at a person who has been saved, he doesn't see sin. He sees Jesus. Our sin's gone. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Amen. You say, why are you telling me all that? I get to. Huh? So what if judgment begins at the house of God? Well, it began there. Jesus hung on a cross. He died. He paid for our sin. So our sins are gone. And the question comes up, well, where should the ungodly and the sinner appear? The question comes up, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And I say all that to say this. For the Christian, judgment is not guilty. And that's only because of one thing, and that's the gospel. There is a not guilty for me because of the gospel. Does it mean I've never sinned? Oh, doesn't mean that at all. I've sinned. Does it mean I don't sin anymore? No, it doesn't mean that either. It means my sins are gone. It means that because of the gospel, and I say all of that to say this, that is good news. That's what gospel means. Good news. Because of good news. People say all the time, you know, well, you know, I don't go to church because it's bad. It's all bad. No. Listen to me. It's bad before you ever went to church. You know why? You broke the law. It's bad before you ever walked in this place. It's bad before that person ever walked into the tent at the fair. It's bad before that person ever came to RU. It was bad before that person ever, you knocked on their door and gave them a gospel tract. It was bad. It was bad before I ever walked in and heard the first gospel message. It was bad before I ever went to camp at the Wesleyan campground. No, it was bad because the first time I sinned, I became condemned to a devil's hell, and I was going to go to hell if not for the gospel. See, the gospel's good. That's why I don't understand why Christians don't smile more. Because the gospel's good. It's good. It's good news. The gospel is. Because there was no other way to go to heaven aside of the gospel. It's not possible. It cannot happen. I mean, honestly, Christian, you need to tell your face it's good. The gospel, good news. Good news. It is impossible. And I think we need more preaching on it. I think we need more teaching on it. There is absolutely no way anybody goes to heaven because they joined the church, because they got baptized, because they did good works, because they helped little old ladies cross the street, because they worked in a nursery, because they worked in a homeless shelter. That doesn't get you to heaven. It's not possible. That's all bad. All of that's bad. You say, well, we're helping people. You're going to hell if you think that's going to save you. I'm telling you, there's only one salvation. That's it. Okay? If the righteous scarcely, just one way. If the righteous scarcely be saved, what are the heathen? What about the ungodly? What about, listen, here's the difference right here. Obeying or disobeying the gospel. Okay? We all blew it. Every one of us did. Okay, we sinned. That was disobedience. Now we have another option. We have another opportunity. Are you going to obey or disobey? I'm convinced there's people sitting right here that have disobeyed the gospel. Oh, you know, you're playing games. It's a dangerous game you play. You kind of hope, well, maybe I'll sneak my way in. Not possible. It cannot happen. You're not going to do it. Jesus said he's the door. If you don't go in any way but the door, you're not in. Period. And you say it's narrow-minded. It is narrow. Bible says it's a narrow way. It says broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow. It's a narrow way. Scarcely, if the righteous scarcely shall be saved. Huh? The gospel, what is it? It's good news. It's good news. What is the gospel? Number one, what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Here's what it is. And I mean, there are so many things we could say, and I'm going to hurry now. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand." Here's some happy folks right here in verse 1. He said, "I preached it to you, and you received it." Amen? Here's some folks that we obeyed, that we're going to obey the gospel. Paul said, "Here's the gospel." And they said, "We'll do it. I'll do that any day. That's a good deal." He said, "I'll do it. I'm going to hell. I'm guilty. I've got wages to pay. The only way I can pay those wages is eternity burning in hell." He said, "Man, I'll tell you what. Somebody says they'll pay it for me. They already paid it for me. What a deal. You can't beat that deal." Christian, tell your face. Huh? "Listen to me. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye've received, wherein ye stand." Is that where you stand today? You can't tell it. "By which also ye are saved." Okay, was there any other way? "Well, I joined the church." Doesn't save you. "Well, I got baptized till I wrinkled up like a prune." Doesn't save you. Huh? "I did good works." Can't save you. It's impossible. The law can't save you. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures. And he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Died, buried, rose again. Good news. That is good news. You know, you go to the tent this week, and you talk to them, put a smile on your face. We're the good guys. We're telling them good news. Amen. You go to work this week, you're the good guy. You're telling them good news. It's like, you know, folks think we're so negative. It's only because of your face. We're positive. It's good news. This is a positive thing here. It's not a negative. Well, we're telling them they're sinners. God told them they're sinners. By the way, they are. It's a truth. The truth shall set you free. You say, "Yeah, preacher, you said something about the Ten Commandments a while ago." Ten Commandments can't save you. But the Ten Commandments can bring you to one who can save you. And the Ten Commandments show you and show me that I need to be saved. And the law shows us that we have to be saved. And the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting. How's it convert? Because Jesus died, was buried, rose again. And by trusting him as our Savior, by believing on him, we can be saved. What is the gospel? I mean, if disobeying it means hell for all eternity, but again, it's offered to us as a free gift. You're already headed for hell. Why wouldn't you receive the gospel, the good news? You know, I like good news. I'm frustrated that Christians, I'm afraid, you know, it's like what we do is a negative thing. What we do is the most positive thing that can be done. There's nothing more positive than giving the gospel. And let me say this. Every Christian knows the gospel. If you're a Christian, you know how to be saved. You know the good news. I didn't say every religious person knows the gospel. Didn't say every church member knows the gospel, but every Christian knows how to be saved. Because you are. And if you're not, you're not a Christian. Let me show you the good news here. First of all, look at the source. It's source. The gospel, the source. Romans 1:1. I could there are so many verses about this, but I'm gonna hurry. I just want you to get this. Romans 1 and verse 1. It's source. Good news. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the what? Gospel of God. It's the gospel of God. There's all kinds of good news. I mean, you get things in the mail. We have birth announcements. We have wedding announcements. We have different kinds of announcements. Graduation just recently. All these different announcements and all these kinds of things. But here is an announcement from God, a gospel, a good news coming right from God. And that is this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that person who's on their way to hell, if they will believe in Him, they shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the gospel of God. It was all God's idea. It was all God's doing. I mean, it's the gospel of God. Wow, that's good stuff. I mean, here's somebody condemned. They're on their way to hell. That's you, my friend, if you're not saved. And God says, I offer you eternal life. Good news. That's good. That's what you're doing at the tent this week. That's why Kathy Moore, that's why she's so excited. You know, that's why she runs and tackles people to get them saved. We laugh about that, but do you understand? That is what we ought to be doing. Because we have good news. Hey, I got good news. I got to tell you some good news. You know, there's all kinds of bad news out there. We were clear in Pittsfield, Illinois, clear by the Mississippi River, and all of a sudden my phone rings, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, who is that? And I answer it, and it says, weather alert, severe thunderstorm warning for your area, take cover immediately. And I'm looking around, and the sky's blue. And I realize that's for Adrian. I'm thinking, man, the bad news found me all the way here. I mean, there's bad news all over the place, isn't there? But we have some good news, and it is the gospel of God Almighty. Wow, that's good. Notice it's channeled. Chapter 1, verse 16, Romans again. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And what channel does God use? Romans 1:16. Well, it says this. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Who's Christ? Christ is the anointed one. Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the one the Jews were looking for, and they missed out. They missed Him. Some have found Him. Amen. Some see Him. Some know He's the Messiah. Some know He's the anointed one. I'm afraid that a lot of Baptists don't realize He's the anointed one. I'm afraid a lot of Baptists don't know He's the Messiah. I'm afraid a lot of Baptists aren't sure who we're looking for to come again. They're not real sure who came the first time. He's Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. It's the gospel of Christ. How did God bring this news? He sent His Son. His only begotten Son. His perfect Son. His Son who lived without sin so He could be the sacrifice for our sin. He's not a Messiah with a sword conquering and to conquer. Oh, He will be a judge with a sword, but He's not a Messiah with a sword. He's a Messiah who would be the Lamb of God, who would die for our sins. It's the gospel. It's the good news of the one who died. It's the good news of the Messiah, the one who gave Himself for us. What else? We have its purpose in Ephesians 1 and verse 13. And again, many, many verses. It's all over the Bible. Ephesians 1 and verse 13, it says this, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation. The gospel of salvation. Perfect salvation from God. There is no other purpose of the gospel. The gospel doesn't work for anything else. It's the gospel of our salvation. Well, can I make a little money off it? You can't make money off of it. It's the gospel of salvation. Hello? Can I get more friends with it? It's not for that. Its purpose is saving. Period. And nothing you can do about it. There's absolutely no way to corrupt that, to change that. It is a gospel of salvation. And that's how it needs to be used at the fair tent. That's how it needs to be used where you work. That's how it needs to be used with your family. It's a gospel of salvation. Well, you know, I'll give out this tract because maybe somebody will come to our church. That's a wonderful idea, and we want people to come to our church, but understand this, that gospel message is a message of salvation. First, number one, that's its purpose. The gospel of salvation, praise God. There isn't any other, it's to tell people, he died, he was buried, he rose again. So you can believe. Now, you know, again, that's the gospel. That's its purpose. What's its nature? Notice what it says in Acts 20, verse 24. I mean, really, what's it all about here? Acts 20, verse 24. I love this. You know, folks say, well, you people, you're so negative. Phooey on that stuff. I'll tell you what, the only reason anybody might think you're negative is because they look at your face. Acts 20, verse 24. We don't need to apologize for anything. We got good news. Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's what it is right there. It's gospel of grace. It's good news about grace. Remember what grace is? Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. God, the gospel of the grace of God. You know, if we found out there was somebody here in town that was giving people $20 bills, you know. Yeah, this guy just said, he just told me that everybody that comes to him today, he's going to give a $20 bill. You know, and I would call everybody in the church. I'd say, now look, don't forget, you got to tithe on. You got to agree, you'll tithe. Amen. And I'd tell everybody, go down. That guy's going to give you a $20 bill. Everybody, go down there. Right? That's what the gospel is about. It's the grace of, hey, God wants to give you eternal life. Isn't that something? It's like we apologize. I know you don't want to hear this. I'm so embarrassed to try to tell you this, but I'm almost ashamed. But God wants to give you eternal life. I know, don't be mad. God wants to give you. And then I'm almost ashamed, but he also gives us richly all things. Please don't be mad at me. Are you kidding me? But isn't that how we get sometimes? That's the gospel. It's the grace of God. You know, hey, look, we don't deserve this. By the way, that's something else you can tell your face sometime. God's grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Wretch? I'm so sorry I had to tell you that you're a wretch. I got to apologize to you that, you know, I just told you the truth. Like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Why would we be ashamed to tell blind people they can see? Why would we be ashamed to tell somebody who's on their way to hell they don't have to go to hell? The gospel of grace. Look at its endurance. Revelation 14. I'm moving along here. Don't get nervous. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly into the midst in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. This news doesn't grow old. I go over to Dr. Brown's office a lot and used to quite a bit. And I started reading that Reminisce magazine. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Reminisce magazine. Anyway, I kind of got to reading that. And you know, at first I thought, wow, this is about my parents' day. And then I started reading more, and it was about my day. Had to get over that. But anyway, and I was reading something the other day, and my wife found some in a garage sale or something like that. And then our daughter got me that for my birthday, got me a subscription to that. But anyway, but I was reading in one, and it said 1967. I said, wow, 67, way back. Anyway, I I'm reading that, and all that was old news. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. You know, all those things really happened. And you know, it listed all these different things. And I was there, and I remember it well. I don't know if I remember it well. I don't remember yesterday too well. But you know, you think about, and some of it was good news. But it's old news now. You know what? The gospel never gets old. It just doesn't get old. Now it got old to you because it just got old to you because you don't have a lot of sense if it's old to you. Everlasting gospel. It's always good. It's always fresh. You know, Kathy's as excited today as she was last year at this time, as she was the year before that at this time, as she was the year before that at this time, as she was the year before. Why? Because the same good news. Doesn't matter who comes. It doesn't matter how, you know, everybody looks different. One year, you know, there was that year where guys came in with earrings. Well, you know, and it's like, ah! You know, you can't believe that. Why would a guy, I can't hardly, but now we're used to it now. You know, then there was the first year, you know, here comes a woman with a tattoo smashed all over her face. And it's like, you know, I can't believe that. And, you know, people are half naked and some are, you know, they're like this. It doesn't, but none of that. All of that is just, everybody's different, but there's one thing that's always the same. It's everlasting. It's going to be everlasting. Do you know when we're in heaven for a billion years? After a billion years in heaven, first of all, there's no wrinkles, no, you know, none of that. You're not stooped over. Oh, it's been a billion years. You know, it's woohoo! I'm still doing great, and your eyes are still good. Everything's good, and all that. And guess what? We'll talk about. You know what? Hey! Billion years ago, he died. He was buried. He rose again. That's why I'm here. He died. He buried. He rose again. That's why we're here. And we'll all say, hallelujah, amen. And we won't be professional Christians anymore. We'll be fired up Christians. We'll be excited. Why? Because it's everlasting gospel. And we've been there a billion years having a good time. Wow. Isn't that good? And then, of course, we see its opposition in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4. By the way, this ought to get you more excited than ever. I'm so tired of the devil. He's nasty. Phyllis calls him a creep. I like that. Phyllis comes in, she'll talk about the devil being a creep. And that gets me fired up, because he is a creep. He's nasty. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Satan's opposed to the gospel. He's opposed to it. He hates it. He blinds the eyes of people and blinds the minds of people so they don't want to think. And that's unfortunately what we've done is we've kind of been blinded ourselves, so we feel kind of guilty talking to somebody about it. We feel kind of bad about, oh, you know, I don't want to ruin your party, but let me just give the gospel. What do you mean ruin the party? That's where the party starts. Amen. People must hear the gospel, though, because, again, it's up to whether they obey or disobey the gospel. Okay, everybody's already disobeyed the law. You and me, we've all disobeyed the law, right? Yeah, you ever lie? You ever think a bad thought? You ever do something wrong? You ever skip school? You ever forge a pass? No, we've all done wrong. Every one of us. Now, what are you going to do with the gospel? Folks, listen to me. I want to interject something. The gospel is good news. We're good people for giving out the gospel. You go soul winning, you're doing a good thing. You go out to that fair tent and you tell people that Jesus loves them and he died on the cross for them. He was buried. He rose again. That's good news. That's good stuff. That's positive. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Sir, I'm sorry you're such a grouch, but it's sure good news. I'm sorry you don't like it, but it's good news. You want to go to hell? Okay, that's up to you, but you don't have to. You know, it's words like that that folks get saved after they've heard that. You don't have to be miserable. What's the gospel? It's good news. Number two, what's required of those who hear the gospel? It's very simple. Obey it. That's it. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I didn't write it. God, that's God's rule. That's what he said. He said, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That's obeying the gospel. Believing I'm lost. Believing I need to be saved. Believing he will save me. Calling on him to do it. Amen. That's the requirement. That's obeying the gospel. Because without Christ, we've already proven. We broke the law. We deserve hell. Well, I'll just try to undo all my bad things I done did. You can't undo them. It's not possible. If we sin in one point, we're guilty of all. How are you going to undo all? Come on. But I only lied once in my whole life. No, you just lied twice. Amen. Now, how are you going to undo that? Well, I'm just going to do good works. I'm going to help little old people cross the street. I'm going to go to the fair, and I'm going to be nice to people, and I'm going to be kind to people, and I'm going to give folks flowers every now and then. I'm going to bake cookies for the pastor, and I'm going to bring it on. But wait a minute. But if you sin in one point, you're guilty of all. You can't do it. So what am I going to do? Well, God said, here's the gospel. Here's the gospel. Here's how this is the only way to pay that debt that you owe. There's only one way. Really? What is it? Let me pay it. No, you can't pay it. Well, you can, but okay, here's your choice. You pay it in hell for eternity, or I pay it. Isn't that good news? Somebody wanted to pay your house off, would you let them? Yeah. Somebody wanted to pay your car off, would you let them? Yeah. Somebody wanted to pay all your credit cards off, would you let them? Anyway. That's what God did. He paid your debt. He paid a debt I could not pay. I owed a debt. No, I don't know the song. I had a good start on it. But anyway, it's true. He did pay a debt I could not pay. Truth is about that song, you can pay it. You can go to hell forever. Why would you? You sit here today as a Christian, as a member of Berean Baptist Church, but you're lost and you know it. Why wouldn't you get saved? You sit here as a teenager. You've heard it. You know it. You're in junior church. You heard it. You know it. Why wouldn't you get saved? Why aren't you saved? Why would you leave service after service after service lost? Why would you do that? Oh, you say, I've been going to church all my life. Yeah, why would you disobey the gospel, the good news? Why would you disobey that? You've heard it over and over and over. Well, I'm afraid what people might think. What are they going to think when you're in hell? Why would you be lost? I don't get it. Why would anybody be lost? That's how you go to the fair. You just can't believe anybody would be lost. That's what Kathy can't imagine, anybody not getting saved. It's such a good deal. She can't imagine it. She and that's why she thinks everybody wants to hear. She doesn't even, somebody looks at her mean or something. I've watched her, and it doesn't matter. It's not even a blip on her radar. It's like, okay, have a good day. They're going to go to hell, but have a good, if you don't want to hear it, somebody does. The next person does. That's why she grabbed them, pretty much by the leg every time, but that's why. Look, here's what you need to do. You need to call upon the name of the Lord to save you. Amen? It is the power of God. Folks, why have we forgotten that? Man, look at that guy. Boy, he needs a lot of help. What is power of God that we don't understand? Amen. How many? You've thought it, haven't you? You've seen him coming down the street. You got your little flyer you're going to give out. I ain't giving him one. Look at him. Looks like a drunk. Yeah, look at that guy. He's got mom tattooed over his whole face. Yeah, well, he loves his mom. That's hope. Right? You ever see it? Oh, look at that. Oh, he's got an earring. He's got chains coming out of every part of his body. It's chains everywhere. Is it the power of God or not? See, what happens is we forgot what it did to us. We had a lot of fun, Brenda and I, giving our testimonies, folks we hadn't talked to before. And again, just remembering what God did. I wish you'd think about what God did in your life, because it's the power of God that transforms your life. Amen. A lot of people, they want to turn over a new leaf, but that isn't enough. You need a new heart. And only God gives the new heart. You can change your location, but you need to change life. God does that only through God's power. Well, that brings me to the last thing. And what happens to those who disobey the gospel? Well, back to our text, the Bible says, what shall the end be? The end. Because there is an end. So what's the end of the law? Death. Thanatos, separation. Separation. Soul and body, separated. Body rots. Soul, what happens to it? Bible says hell, fire, eternal. Verse 18, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I'll tell you where they appear. They appear in fire. They appear burning. Hebrews 10:29. I'm going to close with several verses and we'll be done. Hebrews 10:29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You say no to the gospel. Do you understand you're saying no to God? You're saying, I don't care what your son did. You refuse God's son. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. What happens when you disobey the gospel? You refuse God's son. 2 Thessalonians 1. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power. That's not my verse, is it? No. It's a good verse, though. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that vengeance, who shall be punished with, watch this, everlasting destruction. Oh, so-and-so down the road said that when you die, you just die and it's over with and that's it. It's not what my Bible says. My Bible says hell is everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's what happens when you disobey the gospel. Luke 16:23. Some people say, oh, well, that's just a story. Oh, it's a story, all right, but it's a true story. And it's a story that happens over and over and over, and it can be told over and over and over. Luke 16:23. The Bible says, in hell, he lift up his eyes. Who's that? That's the rich man who died. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You've been out in the heat, and it's 99 degrees, or it's 100 degrees, and the heat index is 110. And you say, boy, I've got to have a drink. And you grab a glass of water. In hell, you're burning forever, and you beg for one drop. You'd take one drop of water. Don't tell me hell's here on this earth. Don't tell me that hell is just in your imagination. Hell is a real place. It is a place where people are burning and where the rich man says, I am tormented in this flame. What happens to those who disobey? Revelation 20:15 is what happens. Revelation 20:15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. How do you get your name in the book of life? You obey the gospel. That's how. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Luke 12:5, and I'm done. Luke 12:5. And the Bible says, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Over and over and over, you hear people talking about keep that body alive, get healthy, stay alive. Wear your seat belts, stay alive. Protection for your home. Don't let crooks get in. Stay alive. You know, everything's about, okay, I need to do everything I can to protect this body. And you know, the Bible says, okay, well, you fear. Fear the one that can take your life. But I got news for you. There's one you need to fear more. It's the one who not only can take your life, but he has the power to cast you into hell. But there's only one reason anybody goes there. Why is that? Because they disobey the gospel. Because God made a way so that everyone can go to heaven. Nobody has to go to hell. Now you look at your own life today. Why have you not obeyed the gospel? Now you look around at all the people you know, co-workers, loved ones, people at the fair, everybody, weird looking people, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. And just, I wonder why they haven't obeyed the gospel. Maybe it's because they haven't heard. Maybe you ought to tell them. Let's bow our heads, please.